All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here with you to dig deeper into the book of Deuteronomy. This week, we're going to finish up chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, looking at verses 34 through 46 as we continue the saga of the wilderness wanderings from the time of the spies coming back from their tour of Canaan. So let's look at how Moses brings about the story in verses 34 through 46 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. "And the Lord heard your words and was angered, and he swore, 'Not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Even with me the Lord was angry on your account, and said, You also shall not go in there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea.' Then you answered me, 'We have sinned against the Lord. We ourselves will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us.' And every one of you fastened on his weapons of war and thought it easy to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said to me, 'Say to them, Do not go up or fight, for I am not in your midst, lest you be defeated by your enemies.' So I spoke to you, and you would not listen. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you and chased you as bees do and beat you down in Seir as far as Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice or give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days, the days that you remained there." All right, there is our text this morning. So last week we talked about the spies being sent out. This time we have the response of the spies. And not only the response of the spies, but the aftermath that comes to it, and even the aftermath that will come later to Moses. As God says, okay, none of this generation of adults is going to enter the promised land. Except for Caleb and for Joshua, the two faithful spies. Not even Moses gets to go into the promised land. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But let's go back to Numbers 13, where we have the story of it as it's happening and as Moses is recording it in his narrative of the wilderness wanderings. So this is Numbers 13, beginning in verse 25, continuing on to verse 12 of chapter 14. "At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, 'We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan.' But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are.' So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.' Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to one another, 'Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we pass through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation stronger and mightier than they." All right, there is the story as it is given to us in Numbers 13 and 14. And yes, as Moses recalls in Deuteronomy, the Lord heard your words and was angry, and he swore that none of them would see the good land that he swore to give to the fathers. So none of them would enter in the promised land. Or as he says in Numbers 14, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them?" And again, like he did on Mount Sinai in Exodus 33, he promises to wipe them out and begin again with a new nation coming from Moses. But again, Moses will intercede and not ask for that, because he doesn't want that part of it. It's already bad enough he's having to lead the people that are constantly grumbling against him. So he says, none of them, except for the two that brought about the good report, the two that were faithful and believed in the promises of the Lord, believed in the signs, which are Joshua and Caleb. And of the 2 million plus people that crossed the Red Sea, yes, only Joshua and Caleb are the ones who actually get to cross the Jordan River into the promised land to take over and get rid of the Canaanites. But as we look at this, we see everything that we can possibly imagine as being an issue. You know, there's so many people there. The land is strong. The fortifications are basically up into the heavens in some instances in their sight. You know, we not only have the Amorites of the hill country, we also have the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites. We have all of these ites that we have to deal with. And we just can't do it. And we're not a warrior people. They are trained in this. We are not. And yet Caleb tells him, no, let's go up right now. God said it's ours. Let's go take it. Even though, yes, there are the Nephilim. There are the son of Anak. There are all of these different ites, all of these different fortifications. But no, we have the Lord fighting for us. But they wouldn't listen. And so they are cursed by the Lord. Then in verse 37 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, we have Moses linking his own banishment from the promised land. Because at this point with the spies, he's still able to go in. He's going to be the third of those who go in that generation. But it was the second time of drawing water from the rock, where instead of striking the rock as he did the first time, God told him to speak to the rock. But the people were grumbling again and complaining, and Moses got angry. And he brought about the water from the rock by striking it again, not by speaking to it, disobeying the Lord, you know, and going and taking things into his own hands. And this happens a few chapters later in Numbers 20 at Meribah, after they leave Kadesh. And so it's again, you know, we have no water. So what is this? So God tells him in verse 8, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its waters. So you shall bring out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." So we move to verse 10. That was verse 8. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. So once again, this is a time where Moses disobeys God and acts like he is the one who brings them water out of the rock. And so, yes, God gives them the water out of the rock this time because he is being merciful to his people, the people who are thirsty. So, but because Moses didn't do it the way God commanded, yes, Moses and Aaron get to be ostracized and die before the invasion of the promised land and the conquering of it as God has promised to the people. So even with this, the Lord wanted to give this new generation a demonstration of his gracious power that he would exercise for them. In other words, God wanted Moses to speak the gospel to them. But Moses lost his temper, and his angry behavior disclosed the wrong message, law instead of gospel. God wants to give the people out of his abundance, out of his mercy and grace. Moses is like, you guys are stiff-necked rebels that need to be taught a lesson. And that cost Moses and Aaron their trip into the promised land. So Joshua is the one who gets tapped to be the leader of the people after Moses. And then verse 39 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. As for your little ones who you said would become a prey, and your children who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. You know, the ones who you thought were going to be the prey and easily devoured, they are the ones that are going to conquer the promised land, not you. But now, turn around by the way of the Red Sea. Go back the way you came, and we'll reconsider this in a moment. That, of course, for God, a moment can be any amount of time, this one happening to be 40 years. But they're like, no, wait. Let's go. We'll believe God. We'll get ready, and we'll go up and we'll fight. And so everybody gets their weapons ready. Everybody's ready to go out and fight. And the Lord says, don't do it. I'm not with you. You're going to be chased by bees, you know, and you're going to flee from them. And that's exactly what happens. And the Amorites chase them from the hill country down into Seir, the land of the Edomites, as far as Hormah. And they came back to Kadesh, where the camp was, weeping because the Lord was not with them. They did not conquer as the Lord had promised, because the Lord said, I'm not going with you. You are going to fail. Period. End of discussion. So as we look at this whole scenario, the whole issue here, it's a reminder, especially for Moses as he is giving this to this next generation, the ones that were the little ones 40 years earlier. It is possible to learn from one's mistaken judgments and correct one's life. It is also possible to learn too late. It is too late when the unique confluence of time and circumstance has passed and the opportunity, once so laden with possibility, no longer exists. For most persons, this is a single, distinctive opportunity. When it's gone, it's gone. It's too late. You can't learn anymore. But the purposes of God are never fully achieved by persons who learn too late. Another generation or another person will fulfill that divine promise, but not always, or not the person who always learns too late. So Dr. Kretzmann, as he summarizes this chapter in his popular commentary, We believers of the New Testament should remember the many evidences of the goodness and mercy of the Lord, who leads us through the wilderness of this world with such tender love and holds out before us the certainty of the heavenly inheritance. The remembrance of our disobedience in the past should serve to keep us truly humble and cause us to cling to the Lord in the confidence of a firm faith. We should be as Joshua and Caleb. Thus saith the Lord. So there it is. That's all we need to know. But we look at all the things around us. We look at all the circumstances, all the issues, everything that's going on that wants to choke out the faith that is there. And just like the other 10 spies, just like the congregation of the people of Israel, we want to cower in fear and run away and complain. That's human nature. We don't like to struggle. We don't like to have problems. But this life is filled with problems. This life is filled with tribulation. Jesus himself says so, especially for those of us who bear his name. Just like the Israelites, we wander around in the wilderness of this world. But unlike the Israelites, my hope, my prayer in this podcast is that you learn from their mistakes, not to repeat them again, but to trust the Lord in what he has promised for you. And first and foremost, that promise is an inheritance in the promised land, not of this world, but of the world to come. And so we study his word. We study all of his promises so that we might truly be equipped to wrestle with all the theologies around us, with all of the issues, with all the things that try to gather our attention so that we know the truth and that we can go up in the name of the Lord and truly be blessed. Amen.